If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 90. I'm sorry. Let's turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is going to be our scripture reading for our sermon this morning. I'll read it, and you can follow along as I'm reading. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. I was supposed to fly out to California this Tuesday to see my parents. The plane ticket was really cheap. It was less than what I would have paid for the rental car. And I was looking forward to seeing my parents. But my mom called this past Friday, and we both decided that it would be better if I stayed home. We just didn't want to risk getting her or my stepdad sick. And it seems like a lot of people have been postponing or canceling their travel plans. I read a couple of news articles talking about how companies like United and Southwest have been reducing the number of flights in different parts of the country just because hardly anyone is traveling anymore. It seems like the entire travel industry has taken a big hit. And that might make my choice for today's passage a strange one because it's talking about some people who are traveling. If you look at the subheading under the chapter title, it says, A Song of Ascents. Okay, you'll see this same subheading from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. This collection of psalms was called Songs of Ascents because Jews who lived outside of Israel would sing these songs as they traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate special events like the Festival of Unleavened Bread or Passover. And some of you might be wondering why I would choose a psalm like this, a traveler psalm, when we're all under a stay-at-home order. I'll get to that in a bit, but one thing worth mentioning now is that these trips to Jerusalem could be actually quite dangerous. Our psalm, in fact, hints at a few. There was a chance of slipping or falling. That's why in verse 3 we read, He will not let your foot slip. You know, this verse took on a whole new meaning for me a few years ago. Some of you know that I have the privilege of visiting the country of Haiti about once a year to help lead some seminars for pastors and church leaders there. And the base where we normally stayed is right by a small mountain. And one particular year, when I traveled there with a small team from our church, we decided, I don't know why we decided this, but we decided to take a hike up this mountain. I think I've shared this story before, but for those who haven't heard it, it was a really tough hike. Like, really tough. Of course, the way up was pretty steep, and there were times where the hiking path got really narrow, and there were even times when the path disappeared completely. But when we finally arrived at the top, the view was actually quite beautiful. In fact, I have a photo here of Charles and Dave. They look so happy that they made it to the top. But while we were up there, we saw some pretty dark clouds on the horizon, and we knew right away that we were in trouble. And sure enough, on our way down, it started pouring. I mean, just pouring. I was wearing a rain jacket because it was during the rainy season, and I still got soaked to the bone on my way down. My feet were slipping and sliding the whole way. And I really don't want to exaggerate, but I seriously thought that I was going to die at some points. It was that bad. Now, speaking of weather, the weather was often another challenge that these travelers would run into as they were journeying to Jerusalem. Look with me at verses 5 and 6. It says, "The Lord watches over you. The sun is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day." Here, the author probably mentioned the sun because, as we might expect, the heat there in the Middle East can be very intense. And there was also another threat. You could get attacked or even killed by robbers, especially at nighttime. I think this is why the author says, at the end of verse 6, "The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night." So these songs of ascents were actually prayers. These travelers in the Old Testament would sing these songs as a way of expressing their trust in God. They knew that their safe arrival at Jerusalem depended on factors that were beyond their control. Now, I know many of us who are watching this have gone on trips. We have some expert travelers in our church. There are some of us who travel regularly for work. There are some of us who are college students, and you travel back and forth from your campuses. Some of our youth group students have gone on mission trips. And many of us, we take trips with our spouses and our families. But we're all on a different journey now. Very few of us are going to be doing any actual travel in the near future. I know some of us were planning to take trips over spring break, maybe in the summer, and you decided to postpone or even cancel those plans like I did. And that was even before this stay-at-home order went into effect. That's just the reality we're living in now. We're trying to do our part in serving the common good by staying home whenever possible. But in another sense, we're all on a journey. Okay? Not an actual journey, but a journey in a symbolic or in a metaphorical sense with this coronavirus outbreak. And we're in this together. Our families, our church, our cities, and even our entire nation. We didn't choose this journey. We're not even sure how long it's going to take. We don't even know how it's going to end. And I know many of us have been feeling very anxious about it because some of the news out there is scary. Okay, I admit that. I mean, we're people of faith, but we're realists too. We're watching what's happening in countries like Spain and Italy. And we're seeing how the numbers have been going up even in our local counties. And so this journey is tough on us. And I know that many of us are aware that things may get tougher before they get easier. That means there may be times when we feel like we're slipping or falling. There may be times when we might feel like we're crumbling under the weight of our fears. All of us, we're all aware of the very real threat that's out there. And there are some of us who are facing it head on as we go into work. I guess my point here is we need songs like this to help us get through this journey. This song of ascents is more relevant than we might have expected. And so we're going to take a closer look this morning. My plan today is just to do a quick overview and highlight some important words and phrases, and then I'll share some applications for us to consider. Our song this morning begins with a question. Verse 1 says, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" The city of Jerusalem was surrounded by mountains. It's probably where what the author is talking about here. I've always been impressed when I see mountains. Jane and I decided to travel to the Banff and Jasper National Parks in Canada for our honeymoon because, well, we wanted to see some mountains. We both were born and raised here in the Midwest. We went to college here. We have pretty much spent our entire life here after getting married. And so we have spent a good 40-plus years looking at flatland and construction. And so this honeymoon, we just looked in awe. We took in this amazing sight of the Canadian Rocky Mountains, just marveling at their beauty and just their sheer enormity, just how big they are. But as impressive as the mountains might be, especially for Midwesterners, they're not where the travelers in our psalm find their comfort. In verse 2, the psalmist says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." These travelers looked up and they saw the mountains of Jerusalem, and then they looked even higher and they saw the God who made those mountains. And that phrase, maker of heaven and earth, at the end of verse 2 there, should sound familiar. We recited the Apostles' Creed earlier this morning. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the creator or the maker of heaven and earth. And that phrase from this verse teaches that God is the creator of all things. And if that's really true, if God is the maker of heaven and earth, of all things, then we can say that God is what theologians might call self-existent. That means he's always been there. Some people believe that everything has to come from something. Or if I use it in more philosophical terms, every effect must have a cause. You and I, we all came from our biological parents. The camera that I'm speaking to right now was created by the engineers and software designers from Sony. Same for the TVs or the mobile devices you're looking at right now. Whatever company it is, okay, their engineers and software designers created that. They made it. Everything is created by something. Every effect has a cause. But if we keep going farther and farther back, there has to be something or someone who exists without ever having been created. There has to be an ultimate cause. There has to be something or someone who's just always been there, so that he can make everything else. When this psalm describes God as the maker of heaven and earth, it's saying that God is self-existent. No one created him. But there's more. Okay, when verse 2 says that God is the one who made heaven and earth, it's not only saying that God is self-existent, it's also saying that he is all-powerful. It takes a lot of power to create everything in heaven and earth out of nothing. And God didn't just create everything. The Bible also says that God holds everything together. He keeps it all from falling apart. That's why in Isaiah chapter 40, God says to his people, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." Brothers and sisters, this is our God. This is who we're singing to, even as we're watching this worship service at home. When our psalm declares, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth," it's saying that God is self-existent and he is all-powerful. Nobody created him, and nobody can overrule his power, not even a frightening disease like COVID-19. James Merritt, a pastor down in Georgia, posted an encouraging reminder along these lines yesterday morning on Twitter. He wrote, "A lot of what we took for granted just 2 weeks ago has fallen. The stock market, consumer confidence, the unemployment rate, national health, GDP growth. But one thing hasn't and never will. God has not, cannot, and will not fall off his throne. In God we trust." I think this is just one of many ways that you and I can say, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth," as we're on this difficult journey together. Now, on that note, let me offer a few applications for us to consider. First, I would ask us to consider that we lean on God. Let's lean on God first. Let's lean on God first. As I mentioned earlier, our song opens with a question in verse 1. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" Next verse again provides the answer. Verse 2, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." But if we're honest, our first answer isn't often the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. My help comes from myself. My help comes from my family. My help comes from the news app on my phone or my tablet. My help comes from my social media feeds or my Netflix subscription or from the snacks and drinks that I stocked up on or from my friends that I'm messaging nonstop. My help comes from whatever or whoever gives me the most immediate comfort and happiness. Now, of course, I'm not saying that any of these things are bad. I know for some of us, this season has been an unexpected gift to spend more time with our family. And yes, we do need to be staying on top of the latest developments by reading from trustworthy news sources. And I know that social media and the internet have been an important lifeline for so many. It certainly has been for our church. And yes, I have been watching Netflix here and there. But if you're at all like me, then God isn't often our first answer. He's the answer after we've tried everything else and realized that they can't help us. I think this is actually a common problem for those of us who identify as people of faith. And maybe we've always been aware of this deep down, but this situation has not brought it up to the surface where it's staring at us right in the face. Perhaps God in His grace is trying to teach us an important lesson, even through a situation like this. Perhaps one of those lessons might be, let's learn to lean on Him first. We need to be able to join with those who sing in this psalm, "My help comes from the Lord." You and I, we worship and serve the all-powerful, self-existent maker of all things, heaven and earth. He is ready to listen to us when we pray. He sees our fears. He knows what we need. Let's lean on Him first. Secondly, I would encourage us, let's lean on each other. Let's lean on our God first, but also let's lean on each other. You know, there's some debate among scholars about how many people are speaking in this song. Some think there's only one person and he's kind of having a conversation with himself. He's talking to himself. I think there are at least two people here. The first person starts the conversation by saying in verses 1 and 2, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Then someone else, another person, follows up and gives his answer in verse 3. "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber." We need to remember that the Jews often traveled together on this journey to Jerusalem, and I think they used these songs of ascent to encourage each other along the way, along the difficult journey there. You know, the Bible talks about the importance of community so many times, and this is just one more example. Okay? Christians need community, and we're going to need it more than ever while we're under this stay-at-home order, while we're in this season of social distancing. And I think our experience of community is going to be challenged in ways that it hasn't been before. I firmly believe that nothing can replace actual in-person gatherings. Now, I love what we've been able to offer with this live stream video worship service, and we have some people who've put in an awful lot of time and effort in order to make this all possible. I want to acknowledge that and honor these friends who have worked so hard behind the scenes. But I also have to admit, when we finished up last Sunday, one of my first thoughts was, I can't wait for that first Sunday when we're able to meet in person again. I can't wait for that opportunity where we will worship together in person again. I can't wait for that opportunity where we will be able to celebrate communion together in person again. Now, all that is going to have to wait. Again, we need to do our part to flatten the curve, okay, to slow the spread. And that means virtual worship services and virtual community are going to be our new realities, our new norms for a while. And I want to encourage us to do everything we can to make the best of it. All of our meetings have now moved to an online video conference format. This includes our community groups, our youth group, our women's group, men's group, adult Sunday school, everything I mentioned in the announcements. Now, I know things are busy at home, but if you can, I would encourage you, please try to make it to these video conference meetings so you can share how things have been, okay, even if it's been hard. Especially if it's been hard. We might be tempted to withdraw and hide until we kind of try to clean up our mess first, or maybe we feel bad, we don't want to be a burden to anyone. I hope you can believe me when I say that you're not the only one who's having a tough time with this. Okay? We all are. We all are. And we need to be able to lean on each other now more than ever. I want to also encourage us to keep checking on each other. I know that many of us have already been doing this. You've been sending text messages and emails to each other. You've been calling each other, asking if everything's okay. Please keep on doing this. Thank you so much for doing this. I also think it's important for us to pray together. You know, some of my most encouraging experiences of community, even from this past week, happened was I was praying together with some fellow believers over video conference or even over the phone. And so on that note, we're going to try to offer a virtual prayer meeting this week. It's going to be over Zoom. We purchased a license because we're doing so many video conferences now. And with this license, each meeting we hold can host up to 100 people. 100 people. So we're going to try to start tomorrow night, Monday night at 8:30 p.m. If you're available then, we'd love to have you join us. We'll send out the link via email tonight or tomorrow morning. And it's going to be short and simple, this prayer meeting. Just 30 minutes long. I'll just start by reading a short passage from Scripture, and then we're just going to open up the floor and invite anyone who wants to go ahead to offer up a short prayer for whatever it is or whoever it is that God is placing on your heart to pray about. Okay? You don't even have to pray, actually. If you'd rather just join and listen in and pray together in that way, you're more than welcome to do that. I really think prayer can be one of the most important ways that we can experience community, because as we're leaning on each other by praying together, we are also together leaning on our Lord. We're looking to Him. Now, I'd like to wrap up by looking at one more verse that some of us may have noticed as we're reading the passage. Verses 7 and 8 says, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." Verse 7 says, "The Lord will keep you from all harm." Is that really true? Many of us know Christians, devout, faithful Christians, who have gotten sick and even died. A parent, a close friend, maybe even a child. Many of us know there are Christians in different places around the world who are being persecuted for their faith. And what about this novel coronavirus that is sweeping through our area right now? What is this verse really saying when it says the Lord will keep you from all harm? Well, I think the answer can be found in verse 8. Verse 8 says, "The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." That last word right there is key. Forevermore. God's promise to watch over us is an eternal promise. When verse 7 says the Lord will keep you from all harm, I think it means the Lord will keep us from ultimate harm. In other words, He's going to protect us from the one thing that can destroy us forever: sin and its penalty of suffering eternal separation from God. And that takes us to our final lesson for this morning. Let's lean on God first. Let's lean on each other. And finally, let's lean on Jesus, our Lord. I know I've already said that we should lean on God first, but I also want us to lean on Jesus. Now, of course, Jesus is God, and He shares many of the Father's attributes. Like the Father, Jesus is self-existent. He was never created or made, and yet He was willing to be born in a manger outside of Bethlehem. Like the Father, Jesus is all-powerful, but He was also willing to become like us. He became a truly human person. He experienced what it was really like to be hungry and tired and even scared. Like the travelers in our psalm, Jesus would also go on a journey to Jerusalem, not just to celebrate a festival, but to suffer and die. Jesus didn't go to Jerusalem just to offer a sacrifice. He went there to be the true sacrifice. And this, my friends, is why we can trust God to protect us from the ultimate harm. He loves us so much that he was willing to send his one and only son into the world to die for us, for your sins and for mine. When we put our faith in Christ, we are trusting a Savior who was willing to experience the ultimate harm in our place. Esau Macaulay, a New Testament professor at Wheaton College, wrote an insightful article in the New York Times this past week called "The Christian Response to the Coronavirus, Stay Home." That was the name of the article. "The Christian Response to the Coronavirus, Stay Home." Now, near the end of the article, he writes, "Regardless of our beliefs, the one experience common to all humanity is that we die. In that, we share a kinship. But Christians can, through their actions and faith, lodge their protest against this great enemy, not as a shaking of one's fist at the wind, but as a testimony to the greater hope of the eventual defeat of death itself." Will God keep us from every harm? From losing our job, or losing more money in our retirement accounts, or even from this virus? I can't promise he will. I wish I could, but I can't. But what I can promise is that God has already rescued us from the greatest harm. He has saved us from the ultimate harm. As Dr. Macaulay said, our greatest hope is the eventual defeat of death itself. Or as our psalm puts it, the Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. So church, let's lean on God first. And let's lean on each other. And let's lean on Jesus. Let's lean on our self-existent, all-powerful Savior who was willing to endure the ultimate harm for you and for me. Okay, let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the promises in your word. We're thankful that in our times of trouble and anxiety and even fear while we're on this uncertain journey together, we can lift up our eyes and know that our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, as we're in this stay-at-home order, as we're trying to maintain social distancing, as we're spending time with our families, doing e-learning, our e-teaching, working from home, going into work, especially for our healthcare workers. Would you help us, Lord, to learn what it means to lean on you first, to cry out to you, our self-existent, all-powerful God, maker of heaven and earth, to know that you are listening to our every fear, every cry, every hope. You know what we need, and you have infinite resources at your disposal to help us. Lord, help us to lean on you first. Help us, Lord, also to be a good community to one another, albeit virtual community, as we call each other, as we meet together over Zoom, as we pray together. Lord, help us to be a church that really cares for one another, that leans on each other, and draws strength and encouragement from that. We thank you most of all for our great Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Though you were never created, though you are all-powerful, you left your glory above and became a frail human being. you endured all the frustrations and difficulties that we experience right now, and so you can empathize with us. And you went to the cross. You suffered the ultimate harm in our place so that we can claim this promise. The Lord will keep you from all harm. You will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. Thank you for being such a great Savior for us. It's in His name we pray. Amen.